from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. Glad to have our buddy Paul Savage in for Tommy today. Tommy will try and join us in just a little bit. Big show coming for you. We've got more Royals baseball, of course, to talk about. A disappointing night for the Royals last night yet again. We'll go through those implications a little bit and get you the latest there. We'll check in on Chiefs camp, where Rashee Rice spoke yesterday to the media. Didn't get a whole lot of information, but we can go through some of that. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming for you. We've got a couple of contests for you today. We'll give away our HTO as we normally do. We'll also give you an opportunity to win some tickets to see Tim Tebow. He's having a big event here in town in a couple of weeks. And we've got some opportunities for you to get out there and hear him talk, maybe win some prizes at the Tebow event. So that's coming up. Stay tuned for those details as well. And our guest today, a little later, second hour coming up, we're happy to be joined by Grady Dick, Wichita's own NBA player now for the Toronto Raptors. He'll be back in town for a basketball camp. We'll catch up with him, get the latest on his camp, get the latest on what's happening in his world lately, and it'll be good to go. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. So you can call us there. You can also get in touch with the show on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, those ways, and you're, of course, watching us on 12 News Connected. Hello there as well. Listening to us on the Odyssey app. Hello there as well. And hello to you, Paul Savage. How are you?
I'm good, Jacob. How are you doing, buddy? You doing okay? I'll tell you what, it's a lot going on in our world today, particularly with the Olympics. And it keeps you busy all the time staying up with this stuff, doesn't it?
It does. It's been a fun Olympics. I've enjoyed it.
I have too.
Good action yesterday. Women's USA gold medal in the 200. I watched a little beach volleyball. Lost a little money, Paul, trying to bet women's beach volleyball. I was trying to get behind Team USA. That didn't go very well for me. I bet a lot of the Olympics, but I did bet that. I love beach volleyball. Beach volleyball is wild, man. I really dig it. Team USA basketball gets a win over Brazil. No surprise there. Women's soccer, a thrilling win yesterday in the Olympics as well. So it was a busy day. as we come into the home stretch here of the Olympics, and we'll start to, you know, crown some of these team champions and continue to make our way through track. But it's been good out there in Paris. I've enjoyed it.
All right. What can, do you mind? I don't want to get too far off of your schedule on this, but what's been your favorite? I've got a favorite moment. I'm sure you've got a favorite moment, that moment of surprise, that moment of delight. What is, if you boil it down, your one thing on this Olympics so far?
I think my favorite moment has been men's gymnastics, men? That pommel horse to clinch it. And I can't think of the guy's name.
Well, they call him the pommel horse guy.
Everybody knows who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, and I apologize. But yeah, that was probably him sticking that and them getting bronze and, you know, getting held up in the air and all that stuff. That was probably,
wow,
like for a moment specifically, mm-hmm, I think my favorite so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool. And by the way, my understanding is his girlfriend calls him the pommel horse guy. So, I mean, if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for us. But so everybody knows who we're talking about. For me, yeah, Jacob, it was about 3 or 4 days ago. I think it was over the weekend. The women's 100-mile tour, which is unbelievable. They're going to go 100 miles. Now, this is, of course, on a bicycle. And for me, it was the story of the gold medal winner, Kristen. Oh, gosh, do you remember her name? Help me out. I've gone blank on it, too. But anyway.
I don't know what event you're talking about.
Oh, the 100-mile bicycle, bike race, whatever.
Bike riding to me is like watching paint dry, so I did not catch it.
I was fascinated with it. And by the way, so I'm watching it live. I'm watching it live in my kitchen. I'm watching the whole thing. Well, I've watched it for the last 50 miles of the 100-mile race. I was watching it. And about four or five miles out before the finish, Kristen, American, jumps out to a lead. I mean, when she jumps out, nobody goes with her. I mean, when she jumps out with about 5 miles, 4 or 5 miles to go, nobody jumps out with her. A lot of times somebody makes a move, somebody goes with them. Well, she went, nobody went. And she's out by about 50 to 75 yards for the rest of the race. Nobody even makes a push on her. And then you learn the story I heard the story from one of the commentators. A week ago, she wasn't on a team. Evidently, there was a team member who decided they can't make the Olympics. They couldn't do it. I don't know what the reason was. They didn't really say this, but somebody dropped off the team. And a week ago, they added this lady to the bicycle race, and she was scheduled to run this race. And she's been on the team for a week. And I thought to myself, what a great story. They popped this girl in. She's from Alaska, of all places. I mean, I've never really heard of many bike riders from Alaska, but she's from Alaska, and she pops out and she wins that thing. I'll tell you what, that was one of the most exciting things I think I've ever seen, combined with the story. I think of all the great things, we can go through, you know, Simone Biles, we can do all those.
Biles.
Yeah. I mean, we can go through all those gymnastic medals, and they were great. Don't get me wrong. Those were great, Jacob. But for me, this moment was the 100-mile, and it was a 100-mile bike race. I guess they call it a tour is what they call it, 100-mile bike tour. And that was just exciting to me for something like that to happen and then to learn the story. That was for me. And I know everybody's got their own little deal. Probably you've got to tune in. If you tune in and catch something live, it sticks with you. That's what happened with me. But man, I've really enjoyed, you know, I hate to say this. I've watched a lot of Olympics. I don't think I've wasted my time because I've had so much enjoyment. I mean, and a lot of times I might be working in my kitchen doing some paperwork or doing something else or getting ready for this show or whatever we do. And I got it on. I mean, I've got it on. I mean, you know, maybe I'm not paying total attention to it, but I got it on. And I guess the ratings, Jacob, you're more in tune with ratings and stuff with television networks. But I guess the ratings, and you can speak to this, the ratings have been really, really good. I'm not missing.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the ratings. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised, though. You had star power all over this thing, Simone Biles especially, and some of the swimmers. So that doesn't surprise me. But yeah, we can talk a little more about the Olympics later. Ken chimes in. Says your racer is named Kristen Faulkner.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Paul, let's start with the Royals here.
All right, let's do it.
It's another tough loss last night. Another game, you know, in the middle to late innings where they let it go. Seth Lugo was not as sharp as he has been lately. Had 4 walks in the game through 5 1/3. The bullpen, after they navigated You know, after they got the sixth inning taken care of, the bullpen was really good. Bubich gave them two strong innings. Will Smith, nothing allowed here again. So, you know, they almost got it done. MJ Melendez with a big hit late, put him at 6-5, and then the Red Sox bring in their closer who's been really good, and he gave them four outs, and excuse me, they couldn't get it done. And so now we sit here, and the Royals are in danger of falling out of the wild card, depending on what happens today in some day baseball. You know, the one thing you can't let happen, especially in a home series, is to get swept like this. Otherwise, you don't get much movement in the wild card situation. Boston came in 2.5 games back. Well, in a 3-game series, if you get swept, you can give up that lead. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Right.
And, you know, that's Houston is definitely not out of it. So there's two teams. We think Tampa will be over time, but you got two teams there. You just can't afford this. They got to get this win today or they will fall out and then they'll be chasing. And Minnesota doesn't appear like a team that's going to slow down. We certainly don't think the combination of Baltimore and New York will slow down. So there's quite a bit of pressure on, I think, on this game today. It's not, you know, there's lots of time and it's not that big a deal, but man, if things go awry and you look back over the season and you see what happened in this series, it could stick in your craw for a little while if you're the Royals. So a lot of pressure, I think, on this game, a lot of pressure on Cole Reagans. They got to be able to get this thing done and avoid this sweep. I don't know how else to put it. And, you know, it's going to take a good start. It's going to take a little offense against the problem here is this is the guy, the Red Sox, is probably the Red Sox, you know, best guy. In Cutter Crawford, at least the best that they've seen in this series on the bump to start things off. But, you know, you had Boston and, you know, Boston took 2 of 3 in Boston earlier this year, not that long ago. That was in mid-July. So you know, as you look back at these things, you'll get 6 games against Boston. The best you can do is 2-4 in those 6. That stuff matters when you're talking about a tight playoff chase.
Well, and it does. And not only that, with Boston, I mean, it's not like, you can absolutely say they're not in the wild card hunt. They're a game or two behind the Kansas City Royals. But if it's a team that matters, it's a team that's good, it's a team that you've got to stack up and get those kind of wins. And you're right. You're right. We may think back. We may be on this show, 60, 90 days from now? Well, about 60 days from now, thinking to ourselves, and we're going to reminisce and say, Paul, do you remember that Wednesday you were in and we were talking about a series with the Boston Red Sox and how that might be a series that – I think you're absolutely right. This could be one of those kind of series. And yet we were talking the same way about a month ago when there was a big series with the Guardians. And so I guess – the point that you're making, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think every series counts. I mean, you got to win.
Well, of course it does. Yeah, I mean, that part's obvious.
Yeah.
It matters. But, you know, and you know, Ken continues to chime in. It was a fielding error, a wild pitch. You're at home. Like, they're letting these games go. They're letting them slip away, especially last night. And really, this counts for – you could put it for any of the recent losses. They almost all feel like games you should have won. Maybe not Monday's Brady Singer opener, but if you go back and you look at, you know, the losses for the Royals recently, certainly the game against Detroit, and then these two games, they feel like games you could have had. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is, to use the word Ken did, disheartening. Yeah, it is, because you felt like those were wins and you got to win your wins. And that is the bullpen thing. And look, the bullpen was fine yesterday, but mistakes haven't cost this team a lot of games this year. They're not a mistake prone team, and they did last night. So hopefully they're able to bounce it back. The good news is, well, there's two ways to look at it. They get their first day off in a while after the game today. And it's, you know, you sit there with Cole Reagans. And you need to get that win. And, you know, all of these things are in play. But if you don't, Paul, then you got to sit there for another day and you got to think about it. Right? You got to sit and you got to think about it. That makes it. But if you can win it, and I think I said day baseball earlier, I misspoke. It's a night game. But if you can win it, Then you get the win and a day of rest, and then you feel really good because you're back a game and a half up in the wild card. Nothing can happen on your day off to take you out of that group. Like, all these good feelings come back into play if you win today versus if you lose today, Paul. If you're the Royals, you lose today. Now you've lost the wild card. You're not going to gain it back. You got to sit there for 48 hours and think about it because you'll have the day off. That sucks. So, you know, as we go here, individual games in their importance of a regular season, and this will continue to outdo itself in a playoff chase, but this is as big as they've played in the regular season so far. And you know, if you subscribe to the theory that the next game is the biggest game, well, it certainly applies here because you can lose the wild card standing, you can lose, you know, momentum, you're at home, you don't want to get swept at home, you've got a day off to think about this stuff tomorrow, and you feel like you certainly could have won yesterday's game and maybe even Monday's game. That stuff stinks, and so win today. You know, it's a big game for the Royals tonight, as big as it gets in right. September baseball.
A lot of old-timers would say, well, you can't get too excited about any one particular game or any one particular series. But I think in this particular case, I think you make a really great point that, maybe this is that – I guess there comes a point in every season, particularly for baseball, there comes that one point where you say, yes, this is big. This sets the trend. Sure, there's still 2 months left in 7 weeks still left in the baseball season, and we understand that. But – you know, there comes a point where you make that stand. I mean, right now you're 5.5 games out of first place in your division behind the Cleveland Guardians. Sure, you're 5.5 games, but this is where you make that stand. You're still right there, probably on the lower end of chances of making the wild card than you were. I would say that maybe you are less chances of making the wild card right this moment than you were 2 weeks ago, And basically, the numbers are still staying the same, but I don't get that sense. I get the sense that you're right. This is a big series. This is a big game. And we're in the middle of – well, we're in the first week of August, and we're calling out a big game. But I think, Jacob, you're probably right. This is, for this team, on this day, a big game. You're right. You're totally right.
Big as it gets. I don't mind doing that in a baseball season. I think it makes baseball more enjoyable. It is true by definition that every single game in a 162 game schedule means the exact same as every other game.
That's right.
You're right. It does. But Paul, we both know. Right. We've been doing this too long. Emotionally, they're not all the same. Mm-hmm. They're not.
That's right.
And even as a fan, like, there are years where you go back and you'll remember random games of a random series where you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe they let that game go.
I know.
You know, if you don't think players don't think about that stuff, if the fans do, go talk to a player and listen to their recall about the events that'll happen over a season. Emotionally, these things matter, and emotionally, this is a pretty big game. Now, what does it mean if they lose? It just means it stings more. Does it mean they don't make the playoffs? Does it mean, no, of course not. But it stings more. And a win, I think, can reset things to where they were before this series because you feel like, yeah, that's too bad. We should have won more games in that series, but everything's still fine, right? Like, it's fine. We should have won on, you know, Tuesday night. We didn't. We made a couple mistakes. We can't do that again. But, you know, we limited the damage because the reality is if you win today, the only damage from a pretty bad series overall is that you lost one game, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So, but you could also lose three games.
Right.
And there's a huge difference there because it just feels like this thing is going to come down to one or two games either direction from whether it's the, you know, the Red Sox, the Astros, however many teams it is. I don't know that, you know, the second and third teams are just going to create this unbelievable amount of space between themselves and the other wildcard teams. We'll see, but it certainly doesn't feel that way based on what we've seen so far. Right. All right, let's do this. Let's set up this new giveaway we've got for you.
Oh, so let's here's do it.
Tim Tebow's coming to an event.
Oh, wonderful.
Charity event at the Crown Uptown.
Good.
There'll be some signed merchandise there. You've got a chance to win an all ball. This is what the event's called, all ball. All ball weekend prize package. It includes a pair of tickets to the Tebow event at the Crown Uptime, Uptown, and some signed Tebow merchandise. So, Tim Tebow fans, I know there are a lot of Tim Tebow fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
All you got to do to get your chance to win this is text the word Tim, T-I-M, to 20357. Message and data rates apply. That's Tim, 20357. You'll get a chance to come listen to him speak, get some cool signed gear. That's all out there for you. Day one of that contest, and beautiful. It starts right now. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. Brandon Ayuk, what a curious situation here it for the is. 49ers. We talked a little bit about it yesterday and how it's good news for the Chiefs to have him shipped out of San Francisco. But the way this is playing out in the overall picture when it comes to NFL wide receivers is fascinating to me. We'll get into that as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily. Grady Dick coming second hour. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Good talking Royals. Baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Don't forget, you can text the keyword Tim right now to 20357 for a chance to win an all-ball weekend prize package to the Tim Tebow event coming up in a couple of weeks. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply there. Paul, how much have you followed this Brandon Ayuk situation? Brandon Ayuk is a very talented receiver, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns last year, doesn't have his big contract yet. He'll get it. Now the question is where. It looks like it's not going to happen in San Francisco. They're trying to work a deal. We've heard rumors that New England, Pittsburgh, Cleveland are the main suitors. Now, at one point, Washington was. They haven't been lately. So there's a lot of challenges in this deal. One, the team trading for him has to be able to sign the contract with Ayuk, essentially, and know they're going to be able to sign the contract with Ayuk, or they're not going to trade for him. You have to, you know, you have to get compensation back for San Francisco. So there's San Francisco has to like the deal. The other team has to like the deal. And Brandon Ayuk has to like the deal because he's got to be willing to sign a contract somewhere. We are hearing now that New England looked like they were going to get a deal done, but Ayuk doesn't want to go there. This is complicated. We've seen these trades, they'll work out all the time when they follow with a big deal. We saw it with Tyreek Hill. We saw it with Devontae Adams. You know, these things happen relatively frequently right now in the NFL. We saw the Browns do this and get Amari Cooper from the Cowboys. We had Stephon Diggs, as this has sort of now happened with Stephon Diggs twice. You know, the returns on these typically are pretty mixed bag. You know, the easy ones to say are the Chiefs don't regret the Tyreek Hill trade, the Packers don't regret the Devontae Adams trade. The Cowboys probably don't regret the Amari Cooper trade. The Vikings probably don't regret the Stephon Diggs trade. The first one, now we'll see if the Bills regret trading him again. I think there are, but do you think the Eagles, Paul, regret trading for A.J. Brown?
No, I don't.
I certainly don't think they do.
I don't think they would, but who knows?
You know, and there are others. Do you think, you know, the Bills regretted acquiring Stephon Diggs from the Vikings?
Well, I don't think so.
You think the Cardinals regretted trading for DeAndre Hopkins from the Texans? I don't think so. So it really does go both ways. And while, you know, you want to sort of poo-poo these and say, oh, it never works out for the teams going to trade for these receivers, that's certainly not true. It's about 50-50 now, mm-hmm, as far as these high-profile receivers and these sorts of trades. Mm-hmm.
I find it fascinating because the fact that even New England was in the mix. Listen, is New England going to compete for a Super Bowl this year?
No, but they're trying to protect a young quarterback, Paul.
You've
got to take care of Drake May.
I get that, but I'm looking at, from Ayuk's point of view, I'm thinking to myself.
Right, yeah, I wouldn't go there if I was Ayuk either.
Right, and I'm thinking to myself, If I was to say, Jacob, give me three teams you think might be in the Super Bowl, have a shot at winning the Super Bowl, I'm positive you'd probably list one of your three teams as the San Francisco 49ers, correct? I know. I don't even need to. I know that. And my thought to myself is, you know, winning's a lot of fun. You know, winning makes things a lot easier. Winning makes your life more simple and more enjoyable. And you have a chance to win a Super Bowl with the 49ers. The teams that you're mentioning, are the Steelers going to be? I think, you know, you've got a great head coach. Tomlin's a great head coach. A lot of guys like playing for an old-fashioned coach like him. Cleveland Browns, we'll see if they're better or not. I don't. But the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers probably.
Yeah, their quarterbacks. The Browns' quarterback stinks.
Okay,
and he's going to stink, and he's tied.
And so, my point is that neither one of those teams will more than likely win a Super Bowl this particular year. You're going to make so much money you can't even spend it all if you don't blow it or anything like that. And for me, it would be a factor. I'm going to get paid fairly close to wherever I go. Why wouldn't you? And this is a question that I would ask you. Why wouldn't you want to hang around, have a chance to win a Super Bowl, cement your legacy?
Because they're not going to sign him to the long-term deal. You just have to, like, you got to look at it a couple of different ways. I get it. Everybody's circumstance and their, you know, desires are a little bit different. But right now the players sort of have the power to do this. And if you don't want to risk injury, because what happens if he gets hurt? He's going to cost himself a ton of money. Right. So the trend right now in the league is to go get that deal a year early. That's what's been happening. That's why we have all these holdouts, right? They're all the same.
Yep.
So whatever, you can do whatever you want. Organizations have their different philosophies on that, certainly, and they have every right to have their different philosophies on that too. The reality is the 49ers paid Christian McCaffrey again. They've already paid Debo Samuel. They've paid George Kittle, and they know they have to pay Brock Purdy. They're getting Brock Purdy for nothing. That goes away very quickly. They can't afford to sign Brandon Ayuk. They know that. He knows that. So he's like, okay, well, let me go where I can get, you know, make sure I have that security now. So where's that going to be? If he doesn't want to go to New England, I get it. I wouldn't either if I were him. I get why New England would want him. But if it's essentially, you got to think of this almost like Brandon Ayuk is a free agent a year early. It complicates things, right? Because you have to have, because if he was a free agent, it wouldn't cost these teams anything in a trade package. It really does sort of depend on what you're looking at. If I'm New England, I've got Drake May. I'd like to make things easy on Drake May. Makes perfect sense, right? So then you got to look elsewhere. Pittsburgh. Brandon Ayuk could help Pittsburgh. The team that knows wide receiver better than any team in football is interested in Brandon Ayuk. That should tell you something. Brandon Ayuk could really help them. Ayuk, Pickens there. They just drafted another young player. They got a couple of good running backs. They seem to finally be solving their line. And some combination of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, to me, is better than what Deshaun Watson's going to bring this year to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. No.
Cleveland, the rumor yesterday was if Cleveland traded for him, they would send Amari Cooper back the other direction, which makes a ton of sense for San Francisco. I would suspect that Brandon Ayuk would be willing to go to Cleveland. Here's the team that makes the most sense to me, and they were the ones very early in the rumors. They were the ones that, you know, you had Ayuk and their young quarterback sort of joint messaging. It's Washington. Washington makes sense for the same reasons that New England made sense. You got a young rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. But Washington's got Terry McLaurin. Washington's got Jahan Dotson. You're talking about putting together a wide receiver room that could rival anybody in a very, you know, I don't want to call it a shaky division. It's a tough division because you know Dallas and Philadelphia are going to be good. But if you're Washington and you're trying to do this rebuild, like that would make sense to me. And I can almost with certainty say Brandon Ayuk would have an interest in going there. Now that, you know, that had all died down for Washington in this. So who knows if they're able to put it together because San Francisco still has to like the deal. What does San Francisco have to lose here, Paul? That's sort of the thing. Like San Francisco feels in this deal like the Chiefs felt with Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen to them? He holds out? Okay. He hadn't gotten his big contract yet. Like, you're really going to not get paid? I doubt it. We're going to hold out for 2 years? So that doesn't seem likely. Worst case for San Francisco is you've got Ayuk playing and he's, you know, he's mad. Okay, great. You can come out and play or do whatever you want. They drafted a rookie in the first round to sort of make up for this. So it really is, I'm surprised that Ayuk kiboshed a deal, because you don't do this unless getting that contract is the most important thing to you. And it sounds like they would have given him the contract. So that part does make it a little interesting. But if he's going to be picky about it, and you have to have the planets aligned, the only two places that make sense to me are Pittsburgh and Washington.
Well,
and so now we have to see if either of those teams even make sense.
But I think at this point I'll tell you what tells me a lot about this particular deal is the new term that I'd never heard before, Brandon Ayuk, and that was a hold-in. The hold-in, you know, that you're practicing.
Happening a lot this year, yeah.
It's happening a lot, but I've never really heard that until this year.
Well,
but
it's because they don't want to get fined.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to get fined, so you just sort of show up.
Right, but the point is that you're there, and by the way, whenever you would see something on him, it always looked like there was effort. I mean, it wasn't like he was just standing over there just, you know, doing the bare minimum. It looked like he was involved. Evidently, he's been involved in team meetings. He shows up for workouts, weight room stuff, team meeting, coaches meetings, all that stuff. It appears to me that he was making the effort. I want to stay. Now, that's what it appeared to me. I want to stay.
But they're not going to pay him, Paul. They can't.
Then why go through all – see, that's what I'm having trouble reconciling. Then why go through what he's going through right now?
Because he doesn't want to get fined. He doesn't want to lose his game checks.
Well,
like he does, you know,
but there's a difference between doing the bare minimum and look like you're really trying. And to me, it's looked like he's been really trying. At least from what I –
I mean, maybe. He doesn't – I don't think it's that he wants to be there. I think it's that he wants to be paid, and they can't do it. He knows it. They know it, everything. An email in from Bryce to the program says, as a Steelers fan, I'm excited about the possibility of getting Ayuk. I think a second-round pick could get it done. I think San Francisco's not ready to settle for a second-round pick yet. Mike Tomlin brings in guys that want to play for him. He says, Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense to me. It's a good fit. Brandon Ayuk's really, really good, and Pittsburgh could – really help themselves and at some point convert themselves, I think, into a Super Bowl contender. They do such a good job of never having down years. Let's take a break. We can continue this. And again, we'll touch again on why this is good news for the Chiefs, all of it. There's almost no circumstance in this that would be bad news for the Chiefs. But
that's one way of looking at it.
we'll look at that when we return. We got Grady Dick coming second hour. More Royals talk. Rashee Rice talked at Chiefs camp. Also, we'll talk a little Chiefs as we make our way through, see if any of this ties into them. 869-1240 is the number to call on that IHOP hotline. It's all Brockton Savage. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage alongside you. We're talking about this Brandon Ayuk situation because it's interesting.
It is interesting.
When you've got a player of his caliber, you think of the power brokering in the NFL and you think about the Chiefs who are at the top of the mountain. Not that they would be interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. They're not. But what would his movement potentially mean for the Chiefs' Super Bowl chances? I think at the very surface, him leaving San Francisco enhances the Chiefs' Super Bowl chances almost no matter where he goes.
No question.
Outside of him landing in Baltimore.
Baltimore would be my first thought.
Baltimore or Buffalo, who lost Stephon Diggs. That would probably be the short list for me of teams that could really impact the Chiefs' chances. You know, he's not going to go to the Eagles because they've already got two star highly paid receivers. So, you know, the short list for me, I mean, the Lions maybe would shake things up a little bit, but San Francisco is not going to trade him to the Lions. It'd probably for me a short list of Buffalo and Baltimore is like surprise teams and something like that that could do it. I don't think either of those teams are, by the way. So I think for the Chiefs, almost no matter what happens here, Paul, it's good news because it gets him out of San Francisco, who mentioned this yesterday, San Francisco has been the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl basically all offseason, even though the Chiefs are going for three straight. We love their offseason, and I'll have to check and see if that has maintained its way through. San Francisco has been the betting favorite with Ayuk there, Paul. So, you know, if you're looking at it in that regard, you would like this for the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs have passed them. The Chiefs are now 5-1 favorites. San Francisco 6-1. I would imagine, this is according to ESPN Bet, I would imagine a lot of that has to do with Vegas assuming Ayuk is out of there because it's been, they've both been right around plus 550, plus, you know, six, somewhere around in there. So if you're looking at this and the next teams that are odds-wise going to win a Super Bowl, you've got Baltimore, Detroit, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, Buffalo, and the Texans. And then I guess you can throw in the Cowboys down there. Cowboys would be interesting, but San Francisco is also not going to trade him to the Cowboys.
Probably not.
So if you're looking at teams that San Francisco would be willing to trade to, they're not going to trade to Philadelphia. They're not going to trade to Dallas. They're not going to trade to Detroit, I wouldn't think. So it's like Baltimore, that would hurt the Chiefs. Cincinnati's not in the market there. It'd really be Baltimore. I think we're right on it. Baltimore, Buffalo.
Right.
And neither of those teams, by the way, have been a part of any rumor here to go get Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you mentioned Detroit. A lot of guys want to go play in Detroit. The reason being, obviously, is Dan Campbell. I mean he relates to players like a lot of coaches can't, but he does. And a lot of guys want to go there. And I'm not surprised about that, but Detroit's not going to do anything with it. I think you're probably, you know, if you're looking at where you're at right now, it's probably Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be Pittsburgh. I'm still not sure that he's not going to play on his existing contract for the 49ers one more. I don't know. I'm just – the way this thing is playing out, the timetable that we're setting on, teams are now in camp. I look at – and, of course, that doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, that's not a big deal. But I'm not sure how this is going to play out. A lot of times I have a feel for how these things play out. This is one of those deals. This is one of those trade situations. I'm not sure how this is playing out. And I sure as heck can't make a prediction as to who signs him if he does end up going. So this is crazy. This is just crazy.
But I guess, think he'll be in San Francisco? I don't. I think he'll be somewhere else. I would guess Pittsburgh. If I had to guess a team,
Pittsburgh would be as good a guess.
That'd be my guess. I mean, I still think Washington is a team to watch, though, and that would be exciting. The Jaden Daniels hype, but now is high.
He is
by all accounts looked really, really good.
And he is looking good. If you've watched anything on him, I mean, there's not tons and tons of stuff yet with the Olympics going on. A lot of this stuff is you're getting secondhand or you're getting, you know, just glimpses of it. But Jaden Daniels appears to be pretty good. I'm not going to go as far as to say he's the real deal, nor am I going to say he's going into Canton, Ohio either. But he's looking really good. Another rookie that evidently is looking, Marvin Harrison Jr. is, I guess, looking spectacular.
Surprise there. Right?
Oh gosh, just the pedigree. I mean, you know, he's going to walk across the room and draw attention just because of who he is. But he's getting great reports out of camp. You know, there's some really interesting situations going on in the NFL right now, and we'll get to them a little more. We'll start getting more attention on that stuff once the Olympics. Let's face it, everything's skewed right now for a viewing on all this stuff and how much time you can get your eyeballs on watching this stuff. It's a little unique because of the Olympics. That'll be over what Saturday's the closing ceremonies,
yeah,
I believe.
Soon, this weekend.
This weekend. Yeah.
They'll close her down. All right, let's talk a little Chiefs here make that transition. Rashi Rice talks yesterday, doesn't give any insight on his legal situation, just said a couple of different times his team is handling that part of it.
Well, you don't blame him.
Everybody just wants to know when a suspension. It's not so much a question of if a suspension's coming, it is. It's when does it come? Mm-hmm. And one we thought might be handed down months ago at this point still lingers with a court case sitting there not happening, I believe, until December. It would tell me the league is waiting on that court case for whatever reason. I don't, you know, big picture, I'm not sure that's good news for Brandon Ayuk that they're waiting on the court case to get more information. because he pled guilty, it would be, you know, you'd think the league, if you just, you're just punishing that, it's like they're waiting for something else. So that, you know, in the big picture, I'm not sure that's good news, but in the short picture, it might mean he doesn't miss time this season.
Right. It might.
And so that's a really interesting dynamic to all this that he's not going to give any insight on that. He did talk about, basically being able to get on the same page with Mahomes and doing all that stuff. And he's looked good in camp. I mean, I think if you're the Chiefs right now, you just proceed as he's going to be there this year. I don't know right. what else you do.
Well, I can tell you one thing you don't do is you don't talk about it. I mean, if you're Rice, you don't talk. I mean, we can't.
What's he going to say?
What's he going to say? But you don't say anything because, you know, right now there's a lot going on that could go against you. You don't say anything.
He pleaded guilty. He said what he needed to say in that regard.
But the point is, he pleaded guilty.
But what he doesn't, I don't think he's going to say anything because I don't think he knows, is about the suspension that's coming. Mm. I mean, a suspension is coming. The details of it, we just don't know. And the league may just wait on that court case. And if they do, on the field, that's a major win for the Chiefs. I know that irritates people. I know it does.
Well, sure it does.
But you got to remember, these punishments are collectively bargained. You know, the league, you're not going to punish him. You're not going to punish him twice. Rick says he didn't plead guilty. You're right, Rick. He hasn't pleaded anything. He hasn't been in court yet. He admitted guilt publicly that he did it, that he made a mistake, but he's not denying that it happened. But remember, this stuff is bargained. You can't really punish him twice if you're the NFL. So if you punish him once and then more stuff comes out in the court case, we're going to turn around and punish him again. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Like, I get where the league is practicing patience here. I guess if you have anger at it, be angry at the judicial system for taking this long. I mean, I don't know. It just, you have to sort of sit back and, you know, for the Chiefs don't let most of this stuff pull away from on the field. You can like that, you can hate that, whatever. They don't. And so they're all going to just proceed as if nothing's happening, because I don't know what else they're supposed to do. What are they going to suspend Rashee Rice? It's a strange situation, but until the court proceedings play out, I don't know that anything's going to change. And I just don't think that should surprise anybody.
Right. And it won't be a surprise. And you're right. It's basically playing out the way it's got to play out.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
No comment is the way to go on this. You know, this is a period where we hate to talk about this kind of stuff. What we do is we talk about what's going on in camp. How's that going? But you're right. This is going to take its course, and no amount of you and I wishing we could get this behind us is going to get this behind us.
No. Or fans, or coaches, or Rice himself, honestly, even maybe the league itself. I'm sure they'd like to wash their hands of this too and get it over with.
Right.
But they can't. Yeah. So we wait. Speaking of the other stuff that we're excited about, we'll go inside Chiefs camp. We'll hear from Mitch Holthus talking to Steve and Ted this morning. Jad's got some of that cut up for us. We'll hear a bit of his conversation, check in on Chiefs camp. And then don't forget, second hour, Grady Dick joins the program as well. Excited to catch up with Grady. It's been a while since we've had him in. So looking forward to that. He's got a camp coming up this week. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Always appreciate their support. We'll be back. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on this Wednesday. Paul Savage in for Tommy. We'll see if Tommy can make it by before the end of this second hour. Grady Dick joins us in about 15 minutes from now. Looking forward to catch up with the former collegiate and Sunrise Hoop star, former KU star, now of the Toronto Raptors, back in town for basketball camp. We'll catch up with Grady. We'll be good to do that in just a few minutes. Paul, hour number two kicks off here. We want to tell folks about the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. That's where Jad Chambers is sitting, waiting for your calls. And it is brought to you by IHOP, bringing back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's there for you. We've got a Tim Tebow giveaway running. He's got an event coming. That is an easy one to enter. Text Tim to 20357. So you got that one going for you. Message and data rates apply. We'll get HTO giveaway coming a little later in the hour as well. So lots of good stuff. You'll have Royals baseball tonight, which will be right here on KFH. It's also on the Odyssey app. Tune in to the game on KFH against the Red Sox. Broadcast starts at 7 o'clock. You can also listen to it on the Odyssey app. Search for KFH. I listen to a lot of things on the Odyssey app while I'm mowing the yard, bouncing around. Maybe I'm out of the listening area for KFH. That Odyssey app is a great tool for you. You can also, by the way, get this show in podcast form right there on the Odyssey app if you're not able to listen to us live. So if you're listening to us right now from the future on the Odyssey app, thank you. We appreciate it. We also have our video streams for you. 12 News Connected. Thanks to all our viewers now on 12 News Connected. On Facebook, on YouTube, and X. You can leave your comments that way. We've had an email comment. Whatever you want to do to get in touch with the program, we're there. And look, we say this all the time. Ladies, when we get Savage in here on Wednesdays, settle down now.
That's it.
Settle down now.
Yeah, don't try to get up to the front of the line. I'll get to everybody.
There you go. There's Mr. Savage. Never breaking hearts. All right. So we've been talking about the Chiefs. This is great. Jad gets us. Mitch Holthus has conversations with Steve and Ted last couple of weeks out from St. Joe, and Jad brings us pieces of that to sort of talk about and analyze here. So today's sound is Mitch having a conversation with a guy who I think is sneakily got the most upside to take that next step as an all-pro type player. And that's George Karlaftis, Furious George. This could be a big year for him.
Could be.
And for this entire Chiefs defense. Let's go to the audio here. Mitch having a conversation with George Karlaftis and what he thinks of it.
What have you focused on? Hand placement, footwork, lower body? What has been your main emphasis?
I mean, for me, it's always a holistic approach and trying to just get better in every single thing. You know, just there's this book. It's called The Book of Five Rings, written by Miyamoto Musashi. So it's to know the way broadly, is to know it in all things. And, you know, just trying to get better in every single thing that you do and being a well-versed football player, person, and all that stuff. That's been my main emphasis.
Final question. How much did the Thomas stuff help you? And then, two, what have you learned about the nuances of the game? I mean, you've had two giant years here.
Yeah, it's the experience is the greatest teacher, and Thomas had a lot of that experience. I've started to get that experience, too, and it's been amazing. He's been a great mentor, a fantastic friend, and, yeah, I can't say enough great things about him.
Have you read that book, Steve, the Abadi 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 book, the five? He peeled that off, and I'm like, can you slow that down, George? Like, he's so smart. Yeah, you know, it's a holistic approach, and it's the whole, if you have all things, you have many things and some things. And I'm like, what? I tried to get through Tip and Mitten in Smith Center Kindergarten. The last book I read was the American Ag Credit Annual Report. Yeah. You know, so
is that the one?
I don't know if you've.
Is that the one with Jughead in it and Archie?
Yes, that's the one. And the colored picture, Alfred E. Newman. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's mad.
That's good stuff. That was pretty deep there from Carl Loftus. I like when you get thinkers like that, especially on a football field, because everybody thinks a dumb jock, you know, like whatever. But that's certainly never the case, especially with football players. And to have some, that kind of stuff matters. It's half mental. I mean, maybe not quite half in football, but it's up there. George Karlaftis has got a chance, Paul, to be a really, really special player. If Jones is good and Karlaftis continues to grow, because he's been really good. Don't misunderstand. He's already really good. He could be the next guy. If you're asking me, like, who's that next player for the Chiefs that just takes that gigantic step and everybody's like, are you serious? Are you kidding me with this right now? It would be him. He would be that highest ceiling type player for the Chiefs. You know, what does that mean as far as stats? I think he had 10.5 last year in his second year. He had 6. Can he get to 15? I think he can. And I think that's the kind of ceiling this cat has. I think he's good. I think he's really good, and he's going to get really good, and at some point going to get really expensive. But he's got a chance to be one of the better pass rushers in this league.
What he has is a natural explosion off the ball. And you know something? That's extremely hard to coach. I mean, you know, you can coach kids to be aggressive, and there are things that you can do. There are drills that you can do. But every once in a while, one of those kids comes along that is just in his nature. It's how he does things. It's who he is. Explosion off the ball. And I think you would probably agree with me that he has a great amount of natural explosion. And the position that he plays, that's very, very important, because that gap between, you know, that gap between lining up on a player or outside a player or in a shade or whatever he's doing, and closing that gap is so, so important in attacking who's lined up on you. And he's got that sort of a natural deal. That's probably, if you asked me what's the big edge that he has and why does he have a big upside, it appears to me a natural explosion, a natural aggression towards the blocking players. And when you have that, boy, what's the ceiling? I mean, what is the ceiling? And I think for this kid that there's going to become a time where we're going to talk about him in this league amongst the best that play that position. That's just my opinion. It could, you know, I could be all wrong, but I think that's where we're at with this kid.
I agree. Among the best in the league right now, they need him to do a lot of things. And really, I think there's probably more pressure and attention on the other side. You know, is it Felix Anudike Uzama? Can he deliver on the high draft capital? We certainly, as a K-State guy, hope that he can. But I think Karlaftis has already established himself as a good player. I just think he could take that next step and become an elite player. And in fact, I think he's probably the most likely on this defense to do that. And, you know, a healthy Chris Jones certainly helps him do that.
Oh, no question.
And look, if you lose L'Jarius Sneed, which is going to be a big loss for this team, one of the things, Paul, that you can really do to help out the secondary, what would that be?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pass
Put
rush.
Pressure on the quarterback.
Pass rush.
Right?
Well, that's yeah, that goes without saying. We've harped on that for years, haven't we?
So we'll see. A lot of attention is going to be on that other side, but I have this feeling Karlaftis is going to be a really, really good player this year and effective. That was interesting. I would not have expected that kind of sound, and that was fun, and we appreciate that. Again, those conversations happening over on Steve and Ted every morning on KNSS. Mitch, of course, the voice of the Chiefs. We're getting here pretty close to being ready to bring in our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, every right. week. Mm-hmm. Preseason games start this weekend, Paul, on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I do actually think there's quite a bit of intrigue for the Chiefs in this particular preseason. Really want to see left tackle, certainly. Really want to see the wide receivers working together. I don't think we're pretty confident that the wide receivers are going to be awesome, but I would like to see, you know, the rotation and how that's looking. And, you know, can Worthy be like a week one contributor? It certainly seems through practice that he can, but mm-hmm. we got to get him out on the game field. Mm-hmm. And I don't know yet. We haven't heard Andy Reid talks today, by the way, from Chiefs camp. So does Harrison Butker. It's Reid, Mahomes, and Butker. So we'll have some reaction to those conversations a little bit tomorrow. But if Reid talks today, today is probably the day we learn how much the starters are going to play. And probably it's going to be what Andy Reid typically does in this new altered preseason, which is a series. So we'll get that information. I would imagine that will come this afternoon when the Chiefs start. So we'll be back tomorrow to talk about all of that. But we can take your Chiefs comments and calls. The IHOP hotline is going to get tied up if you're here just a second. But you can leave us your comments on our video stream, on YouTube, on Facebook, on X, 12 News Connected. We've had emails into the show today. Lots of different ways you can react to the Chiefs. What do you guys say? What is Karlaftis' ceiling? I'd say about 15 sacks. I think he's got that in the tank. We'll see. He has been a really good player for them. All right, let's take a break. So Grady Dick, Toronto Raptor, former KU star, former Sunrise star, former Wichita Collegiate star, back home for a basketball camp. We'll tell you how you can get involved in that basketball camp, and we'll just play catch up a little bit with Grady Dick. It's been a minute. It's been a while for Grady. We'll do it all when Sports Daily returns. It's Albrock. It's Savage. Chad Chambers producing. Don't go away.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. Jacob Albrocht, Paul Savage in for Tommy. We'll see if Tommy can jump in for a part of the conversation here with Grady Dick. Happy to have Grady on the IHOP hotline. It's been a little while since we've talked to Grady. 1 year in the books now in the NBA for the Toronto Raptors. Grady's got a basketball camp coming up tomorrow. We'll get you the details on how you can get involved in that in just a little bit. Grady, how are you? Welcome to Sports Daily.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
So what is the difference for you in year, you know, now you're not a rookie anymore. How different has this offseason been than last offseason? I would imagine a little less chaotic.
Oh, for sure. You know, a lot more smooth, you know, kind of less stressed, but really just the same amount of work. It definitely feels different with a year under my belt where I can kind of, you know, have more of a leash to help the new guys and, you know, kind of build that leadership role a bit more. So it's been great.
Tell us about Toronto. I loved the fit. We loved it when you were drafted. It's a really cool city. But as you look back now, how do the prospects for you as a pro there certainly grow? I mean, look, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but your season, especially as a scorer, really started to pick up late. Last couple of, you know, months of the season, you were scoring at a higher clip. Did you feel like you found that groove? And, you know, what did you learn? What's the team telling you their expectations are for you now going into that second year?
Yeah, I love Toronto. I love the team, love the city. But I think, you know, the best part about it was just the leadership we had on our team, the older guys, and, you know, my vet, Garrett Temple, kind of giving me good advice a bit about, you know, there's going to be ups and downs in every season, but, you know, kind of just try to stay in the middle. Don't get too up, don't get too low. And I think that's what kind of transitioned to the later half of the season where I just kind of let the game come to me and kind of got in a groove, like you said, and At the end of the day, just played basketball. I've been playing since a little kid. So, yeah, it's been good.
Well, you know, Grady, one of the questions that I'd love to ask you is regard to KU, the University of Kansas, and how that had an effect on your ability to play in the NBA. What's that one or two little things that you learned at the University of Kansas that has now translated to you with what looks like is going to be one whale of a great NBA career? What's the one or two things at the University of Kansas you learned?
Well, at Kansas, I think that's, you know, the best college, you know, to get prepared for the next level and really whatever you want after in your basketball career. I think a couple of little bits that I remember just from Coach Self was, probably just, you know, going in game situations and, you know, it's not always the same in the past with Coach Self of, you know, having the young guys come in and, you know, make a mistake, you're coming right out. But I think, you know, in my situation, I had the fortunate opportunity to make a mistake and kind of learn through it. And, you know, through those times, I think that kind of helped me transition and mature in my game. And really just playing in the Big 12, I feel like prepared me because I think that's the best, you know, most competitive league out there. And kind of transitioning to the NBA was smoother than, you know, any other college I would have went to for sure.
I mean, it's just getting better too, Grady. I am curious. So you saw last year play out. I would imagine it's hard to take it in all the time, but as you made a difficult decision and we watched, you know, Johnny Furphy make a difficult decision, guys have to do that all the time. Did you ever get through at any point in that first season and have any regrets whatsoever for coming out at just 1 year in college instead of staying and playing more there?
Oh, never, never. I'll never regret that because, you know, as much as I love KU and it's been my dream school since a little kid, you know, this is my ultimate dream, you know, to be in this position I'm at right now. And, you know, I can't pass it up. And so when I just remind myself every day that, you know, I achieve that dream, but there's still, you know, I'm still just getting started is that's motivation for me. But, you know, I would love if I said, you know, I didn't miss Kansas, you know, I missed all my friends there. And, you know, but that's, you know, kind of the opportunity that I have when I'm back in Kansas to kind of see, you know, my siblings and see my friends. But no, I'll never regret, you know, making that decision.
you know, Grady, I sit here and I have to chuckle a little bit. And I think to myself, you know, here you are, you're still a young man and you step out onto an NBA court. Is there any one player that you stepped out on the court with and you thought to yourself, oh my gosh, I'm on a basketball court with this guy? Who's that one guy that just kind of took your breath? I guess it could be a guy like LeBron or somebody like that, but is there that one guy that you go, wow?
Yeah, I think that kind of kicks in before the game, you know, when we're all up and the stadium's empty and you kind of see everyone coming for their pregame shooting. A couple of those guys, yeah, definitely LeBron. I'd say he's number one, and that's been my GOAT, you know, growing up. So I think he's the best player of all time. So that's pretty cool to be on the same court as him and be able to compete against him. But I mean, it's fun to kind of see and learn stuff about me because when I'm on the court, you know, it's just, you know, another basketball player and, you know, I'm competing against them. But yeah, definitely before I was like, yeah, yeah, I looked up to for sure.
What clicked for you, Grady? It talked about it for just a second, but your scoring went way up toward the second half of the season. What was it that clicked and how do you build on that now in year two?
I think it's just, you know, getting used to the pace of the game. You know, at every level of basketball, it's different. You know, I had to kind of get, you know, transition to the college level the same way, whereas I need the game to slow down, and just that just comes with repetition and minutes. So I feel like, you know, going towards the end of the season, the middle towards the end, the game started to slow down for me and, you know, started making, you know, better decisions where I can kind of have the ball in my hands and just be able to facilitate and all that good stuff. So I think, yeah, just, you know, learning the pace of my game and really just building every day, you know, outside of the games too in practice.
Well, you averaged 21.1 minutes per game. I guess at this point, you're probably anticipating that amount of time on the floor to go up. How much do you anticipate you'll be playing? How many minutes do you think you'll be averaging, say, your second year? Because I've got a feeling it's going to be more than 21.1.
Yeah, it was 30 in the second half of the year. That takes a little conditioning, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, the NBA size court is a little different, but unfortunately, we had, you know, a bunch of guys out. But At the same time, I think that was a huge point that my vet, Garrett Temple, you know, kind of gave me little bits of advice of, you know, just being prepared for everything. You know, the season's a little different than, you know, 30-some games in college compared to 82. So it's about being prepared, and you never know, you know, when your name's going to be called, all that good stuff. So, yeah, transition to the next season, it's really just being prepared, and, you know, that preparation and practice really is going to build my my readiness in the game.
Toronto Raptors, former KU, former Sunrise, former Collegiate Grady Dick joining us here on Sports Daily. Appreciate the time as we've got a camp coming up in a couple of days. We'll get to that in just a second. I got to ask you, Grady, I was with the Royals in Canada during their World Series run. Two things for me that I need to get your take on. See what you think. Poutine and ketchup potato chips.
Oh yeah, I've had a good amount of both.
Do you like both? Because I liked one a whole lot and not the other.
Which one do you like? Chips?
I love that. Those ketchup potato chips are money, man. Well, I don't know why
one?
We don't
I don't
have
even know what the other
here.
One is. What are you talking about?
Poutine? I don't. You got
what
look
is that?
Up.
Like, it's French fries and curds and gravy and like it's. I think those are the main three. They just like smother them. It's not like I couldn't do it. Do you like them?
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. They got different, you know, poutines at different places. Like they have it at literally every restaurant, which is actually crazy. So I don't know. There's a lot of new things I have to try still.
ketchup chips though. We got to get those down here. All right, great. Let's talk about your camp. So you've got a camp. It's out at Wichita Hoops. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's a one-day camp, but it's for all ages. So you guys, I mean, you're going to be out there all day with different kids. Why did you do this, and what do people need to know about it?
Why'd I do it? Really just, you know, I remember being in that position, you know, in the same, you know, position of being the kid and going to every single camp I could have when I was little. And, you know, now that I'm here in my shoes, it's kind of crazy to think that I'm putting on my own camp. So, you know, it's an exciting time for me and my family and, hopefully Wichita. So yeah, tomorrow we have our camp at Wichita Hoops, you know, K through five at nine to noon, and grade 6 to 12 at 1 to 4. So, you know, it's an exciting time, and finally that, you know, I get to kind of put it on my own is it's special for me for sure.
Tell me, Grady, real quick before we let you go, it's been a wild off season for KU. They're going to probably be number one or two or three or something like that. How much have you paid attention to it, and what do you think their chances are to get another natty this year?
Oh, we need them to for sure. You know, I hope they go all the way. Yeah, like I said earlier, a lot of my friends are still there. So every chance I get, you know, I'm going to try to make it to Lawrence and, you know, see how they're doing and catch up with my guys. So as much as I've seen, it's going to be an exciting season for sure.
Well, check out Grady's camp. If you're around tomorrow, you can get tickets still available, I assume, for that. Grady, there's still spots available for people to get on that?
Yeah, for sure. You can still sign up, and then, you know, walk-ups, I guess, are welcome tomorrow.
That's out at Wichita Hoops. You'll have, grades K through 5, 9 to noon, grades 6 through 12, 1 to 4. So walk-ups, probably the easiest way to do it. Just head out there if you're interested in that camp. Grady, be good. Stay healthy. We appreciate you stopping by for a few minutes here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
There goes Grady Dick, Toronto Raptors, former KU Jayhawk, Wichitan, all kinds of good stuff. If you missed any of that, you got to jump on. You can get the Odyssey app, and you can go back and listen to that conversation. Love it, Paul. Look, Grady was coming on strong.
He's only going to get better. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Seriously, he is only going to get better. And he was coming. Listen, I have a hard time even thinking a young man his age comes out when he comes out. Can you imagine stepping onto the court with guys that are the pros of today? I'm just telling you, it's amazing. He started to figure it out, and he came on strong in the second half of the year. I mean, look, even throughout the whole year, he averaged 8.5 points. Listen, he is just a stone's throw away from averaging 15 to 18 points a game. I mean, that's just
it's
the
not
way.
Even that. That's what he was averaging, you know, toward the end of the season. And Toronto is going to – they're going to lean into him. I'm excited about it. I love the fit. I love Canada. I'm glad he's up there. It's really cool. I'm glad he's back too. So that camp, If you're looking for one maybe final thing for your kids before they go back to school, again, that's tomorrow out at Wichita Hoops. We appreciate Grady, his family, and his people for helping us facilitate that there. But you'll see probably Grady make his rounds a little bit on the local tour here. Hopefully he's able to catch up with a lot of folks right. while he's in town. But, you know, you're early in the year. It's all work right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I know he was working today right before. I think probably that's where he just called us from, was mm-hmm. from a workout. You don't get to take, especially as a young guy, you don't get to take any time off.
No, that's a grind. Isn't it? Well, what a grind.
It's crazy.
Oh, my. Crazy. I mean, I have a hard time even comprehending.
People, you know, like you just put yourself in the perspective for just a second to be on the road almost half the year.
Half the year.
You know, right. town to town. Like, it's tough. Being on the road's hard. Like, it is not easy to be on the road, for yeah. sure. Yeah. I mean, who sleeps good in a hotel? Like, be honest here. Nobody yeah. does, no, right? Like,
you're right. Ain't nobody
sleeping at a hotel. Yeah. But we love that Grady's finding some success. We love that he's back here in town doing this camp, and always appreciate catching up with him. Again, if you missed any of it, you can go to the Odyssey app, and you can download that and listen to it and get some of his thoughts on the NBA, on KU, and all the other good stuff coming
Jacob.
In here. All right. Yes, Jack.
One thing I can't understand, you don't like poutine?
You like poutine, Jad?
How is it possible that you don't like poutine? It is just everything.
Well, it's probably
delicious.
The curds. I don't love curds, is the thing.
Well, okay, that would be a prerequisite. You would like
I understand. Now I'm understanding your question. You asked me that question because I love like mixing foods and doing all that stuff.
Right.
The problem is French fries are better crispy than soggy, right? I think we'd all agree on that.
Yeah, we will agree there.
Poutine gets them too soggy. Like the gravy, it's the great, like all of it. It's just like it gets a little sloppy in the fact that you're French fries are one of my favorite foods in the world.
They get that soggy, you might as well put it on a baked potato and be done with it.
And which is fine, but I'd rather my fries be crispy.
If you've ever had English poutine, they do that. It is on baked potatoes, not fried.
Oh, that makes sense. Sense.
Well, that makes
I
more
will
sense.
Say though, yeah. I'm not kidding. Go try a ketchup potato chip and explain to me why that's not a normal flavor here.
Okay, we're going to be amazing. On the opposite end of that one because I don't like ketchup.
What?
Well, then you're not going to like
that's
ketchup
un-American.
Potato chips. Sorry. That is un-American.
I'm not
Patrick Mahomes is deeply, deeply offended by that. ketchup's great. It should be a flavor of our potato chips. I'm telling you, it's delicious. I smuggled some back across the border for my wife to try.
Yeah, ketchup is how I get my vegetables.
Right. Yeah, so tomatoes. Yeah. You and my 5-year-old son would agree on that. That's a good way to get vegetables. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll see if Tommy's able to stop by. We'll get into the Royals. Let's look at this Royals game tonight with Cole Reagans. We'll look at some of the bets. We'll see if the Royals can bounce back. You'll hear the game tonight. It's a big one, man. It is a big, big Royals contest tonight. We'll begin to dig into that when we return on Sports Daily.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, you want to win some HTO iced tea and free rain coffee? We've got a chance to win one of each right now. These will be good for either Wichita location, East or West Wichita, or in Derby. All you have to do is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357 for your opportunity to win one of each, a free rain coffee, a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors of the iced tea to choose from. Good luck. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply on that contest. Paul, dadgummit, the White Sox won a game. They just couldn't get it done for us. Two games shy of the record losing streak, which was going to come against the team that owned that record. 21 games in a row is all they could do. I mean, come on now. Like, you were that close and you couldn't get it done. Really? White Sox?
Yeah, 120 years. Nobody. I mean, they were on the precipice of beating a record 120 years old. I mean, come on now. I mean, but I'll tell you what, I did happen to catch, I think this morning I did catch a little bit of...
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Of, the highlights of that game, and when the game was over, obviously everybody was smiling and playing.
Wouldn't you be?
I mean, yes, I would. As a matter of fact, it would be like a burden lifted off my shoulders if I was a part of that. Now, let me just say this. I've been a part of some pretty crummy teams. I've been a part of that. And it weighs on you. It does weigh on you. And their smiles were great and well-deserved. But, I mean, the streak starts over because what's better? What's better about that team? Right now, that's a team that's not very good, and the streak would just start a new streak. I mean, there's still 7 weeks left in the season. That's a good opportunity to lose a lot of games.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not going to be good all of a sudden. I mean, are we going to get to another 21-game losing streak here?
That's right.
Probably not. Probably not 21. But, what a major letdown. Right, that's a letdown. We really wanted it. We really wanted to see them challenge it. Now, I guess all our eyes are on: can they challenge, the all-time losing streak of the Mets in the modern era of 123 losses? I don't think they're going to get there yet either. It's been since July 10th. July 10th. There's a funny stat floating around yesterday, and it's been out there. The American League All-Star team had more wins since July 10th in the Chicago White Sox.
Oh my God. That's not even fair. But it's funny.
It's true.
It's true, it true. And it's funny, but it's not fair. I have sympathy for these guys. Anybody that's ever been on a team that's not very good understands the pressure that it puts on one. I've experienced that. Unfortunately, I have experienced that, but it's hard on you. Really and truly, it weighs
well, yeah,
on
it sucks.
You.
I mean, it
weighs
sucks
on you.
Yeah, for us, we wanted to see him keep losing, but they didn't, and so be it. All right, so we get Red Sox Royals tonight, Paul. This should be a good one.
It would.
Cutter Crawford, he's been in some pretty big moments. He's been good this year. Cole Reagans, at times, has been very, very good for the Royals, most of the time, in fact. There are some metrics that would tell you Cutter Crawford's having an even better year than Cole Reagans. He's striking out more guys. His whip is lower. His ERA is a little bit higher, though. But two very comparable young pitchers taking the bump. Royals are at home. They're fairly heavy favorites tonight at home, which is interesting to me. But they are. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to have to be the Royals getting out to a fast start, I think. I mean, they're so good at scoring runs late, not giving up. And I know the Red Sox bullpen has been a problem, and you'd like to get to them late. But, boy, wouldn't it be nice to get to them early? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to get out there? And they had the lead yesterday. I get it. They had the lead yesterday. Vinny Pasquantino continues to mash. But it just, like, these losses coming in games you feel like they should have won, that stings even more. And the fact that it's the Red Sox doing it right now stings, of course, even more. You lose this game, and you're no longer in third place in the wild card. You're now behind Boston. And I'll check this. I don't believe Kansas City plays any more games against Boston. So, you know, you lose your head-to-head opportunities. You lost two of three at their place in July. Now you hope that you only lose two out of three in this series. And let me just take one quick look. This is the last game you'll play against Boston, who is almost certainly going to be there in the end.
Right.
They have a series against Minnesota still coming. They have a series in Houston still coming. So they have six against Minnesota. They have four against Houston. This is it against Boston. Those head-to-head opportunities against these teams that are going to be, you know, in the mix for that second and third wild card spot are dwindling. You don't get a ton of them.
Right.
So you got to take advantage. They got to win this game today.
Well, it feels like to me, and for the last 2 months, and I'm going to say 2 months, I think it probably goes back to sometime in early June, that the Royals have trailed the Twins by a consistent, what, 1 to 2 games, somewhere in that area?
Twins have stayed home.
It feels like it's been all summer. And maybe it has been all summer, but I can tell
it's
you. It's been for a while. At some point, you've got to pass them. You've got to get by them.
Well, you get them 6 times down the stretch.
That's my point, is that at some point, you're not going to get a wild card if Minnesota is a half a game up on you.
Really?
No.
You don't think the Royals are going to beat out Boston, Houston? You think they got to get ahead of Minnesota?
I do. I think they've got to get ahead. Well, in order to ensure it. What do you think of that? I mean, come on, Boston. You don't think so?
No, I do think there's a real chance that it's the Twins and the Royals that are the two other wild card teams, and Boston and Houston miss out.
You want to be sure? If you want to be sure, get on the other side of the Twins.
Right, and make the Twins be the odd man out. I get what you're saying. Right. I think that they're both good enough teams, though, that they both can get there. And look, 6 games is a lot of games against Minnesota, where you could have real significant implications if it skews heavily one way or the other. And that's what's happening in Boston right now with Boston. So you don't get a ton of games against the Red Sox over the course of a season when you're not in their division. You know, it's a little less weighted than it used to be. You know, you lost 2 of 3 to them. We keep talking about it in July. You have lost 2 out of 3 so far to them in this series. You only get 6 games against them in the course of a season. That can matter if you end up, look, if they end up going 1-5 in 6 games against Boston, and we look back in Boston, I mean, that's right where you'll look. That's the difference of 4 games in the standings just right there. Mm-hmm. You win today and it's far less significant. 2-4 and it's meant 2 games in the standings, Paul. That's the head-to-head thing is weird, right? Because there are times where you don't gain or accomplish anything more often than not, and there are times where it can be catastrophic. And that's what it would be, 1-5 against that team. I don't think there's – Boston's going to be there in the end.
They are.
They will be there in the end. And so that will weigh heavily on a playoff chase if Boston – you know, because you flip it upside down and they'd be behind the Royals 5 games in the wild card standings right now.
Right.
But this is where we are, right? This is where we are. The Royals haven't been able to get it done. But the difference in 2-4 in those 6 games and 1-5 is significant. Mm-hmm. It's the difference of 2 games in reality. Mm-hmm. That's what these head-to-head games present. They make 2 games difference in the standings, mm-hmm.
right?
Because you're gaining and losing ground. You guarantee it at the same time. And why this weighs heavily, obviously, today.
And the American League East has a guaranteed at least one, maybe
wild
two.
Card.
Huh? Say what now?
One for sure, yeah. Baltimore and New York.
One of those two will be guaranteed the wild card. I mean, that's where we're at right now. Their lead is significant enough, I think, at this point, three or four
Well,
games.
And they're both really good.
So that goes without saying. So now you've got basically at least four teams, that are looking for another wild card spot. So it's going to be tough. But nothing says we'll make the playoffs like winning, and particularly say you take four out of the six against the Twins when that series comes. Boy, that'll go a long way for it.
Well, right, and look, that's the other thing too. We have these conversations. Again, I say this all the time. This is the beauty of a playoff chase. We overreact to everything. That's what makes a playoff chase so fun. That's what makes baseball the most fun, is when you do overreact to every game out of 162. Could Baltimore or New York go on a bad losing streak and cost themselves? Yeah, there's 2 months left. Of course they can.
Sure.
Right? Could Boston stumble and fall? Yeah, of course they can.
Of course, yeah. Right.
Minnesota, could the Royals win six games against the Twins? Of course they can. Mm-hmm. Like, all those things are possible. Sure, you try to look at it and think of what's probable more than what's possible, I think, when you're in a playoff chase. That's what makes these games feel heavier. And quite frankly, that's what makes it more fun over the course of it. I say it all the time. There's nothing better than a playoff chase. There's nothing better than relevant baseball, because it consumes, you know, sometimes three, four. For this year, I think for the Royals, it's been basically it'll be the entire six-month season. Because it's, you know, because you've had to wait so long for it, but it makes it more fun to look forward to a game and think of it tonight as like, I can't miss that, man. They got to win that game.
Yeah. You know,
and Royals, it's going to be just miserable for tomorrow on a day off. You get sweat like, oh God, it's just be the worst.
You know,
if they don't win that today.
I know it. And I have this tendency. I want to ask you, I'm not going to ask you, but I want to ask you, well, what's your gut say? I mean, you've got a great baseball gut. Your baseball gut
is better. My gut says they'll be in.
I wasn't going to ask you, though. I wasn't going to put you on the spot.
My gut says that they'll be in. I think they're going to make it.
That's a heck of a gut.
I think that, you know, I think they've got too much starting pitching. I think that they have a really good middle of the lineup. There's too much magic with Bobby Witt Jr. right now. Mm-hmm. And I do think they added to the bullpen. They've got to figure that part out still, but they added talent to it. There's no question. The one, I think the biggest threat to it is, can this starting pitching hold up as they've all are reaching innings thresholds they've never reached before? I think we've seen, you know, Lugo several different times now look a little shakier, certainly, than he did early in the year. I think Brady Singer is in that same category, and Reagan's will be too. Mm-hmm. That's why they brought in Michael Lorenzen, though. Mm-hmm. You know, they've done the things to help them. Bubich has looked really strong. I think they'll be in. I think that's, like, as much as we get frustrated with the bullpen, I think the real biggest threat for this team is the stamina of the starting pitching, which has been so good. But yeah, I do think that they will get there.
Got that feeling. God, I wasn't even going to ask you. I thought it was just, I really felt like it was going to be a little too early to ask you that. But by golly,
I think they'll get there. Look, just go roster to roster. Yeah. You really think Boston has a better roster than Kansas City? Well, I don't.
Well, no, probably not. But I just
got a little deeper lineup. You know, and that's about it.
You'll know a lot more after the
Houston.
After the Twins
now,
series.
Houston, if you said roster to roster, I might concede that. But I don't think it's overwhelming. And Houston's, you know, Houston's got a lot of Seattle and a lot of Texas to deal with down the home stretch. Mm-hmm. Texas is going to get better because they're going to start getting some pitching back. Mm-hmm. And Seattle looks good. Those teams are almost like they may be in an AL West race as much as they're in a wild card race. So we just real quick on the Royals schedule. By the way, this segment of the show is brought to you by Crestview Country Club. I was out with my two daughters last night playing.
Oh, good for you.
I'm consistently shooting in the mid-90s right now, which for me is good. Now, I have never shot a round of golf sub 90. That's what my goal is by the end of this golf season. Crestview has 36 holes to choose from. And here's what I do. I go out there after I get home from TV, which means I can't tee off till about 7 o'clock at the earliest.
Right.
I just hop out there and I play 9 holes. It's great. Man. I love it. I've loved playing 9 hole golf. You get done in about an hour and a half and it's great. So we appreciate Crestview bringing us this portion of the program.
Yes, we do.
36 holes of golf. Get out there, check it out. Let them know that we sent you from Sports Daily.
So Jacob, real quick, you're trying to keep 9 holes under 90?
I'm projecting
not,
that out.
Okay. That's not what he
okay.
meant.
Yes. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
yeah.
get it.
Good job, Jad.
Jad's
smiling right now.
Listen, if you've seen me play golf, that might be. I understand why you might think something like that. But we're getting there. We're getting there. I'm trying to break 90 over an 18 hole stretch.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Yeah. Real quick though, Paul, on the Royals schedule, one final thing. We talked about these games against the contenders. If you look at the rest of their schedule, there are a lot of games that are winnable games mm-hmm. on that schedule too. Mm-hmm. It's not, I won't call it a soft schedule. In fact, I bet if we looked at it, it'd be one of the more difficult schedules down the stretch. St. Louis is on there is good. Cincinnati's not bad. LA is bad, but then there's Philadelphia, Cleveland, a bunch of games against Cleveland, I should say. You got another series with the Yankees, the Pirates, the Giants, the Nationals. There aren't a lot of soft games, but there are some. And we talked about this before. You have to win those games. You have to beat the bad teams, which they've been doing a pretty good job of lately. But you got to win those. This game tonight, though, it just feels like one they don't need to let get away. They'll regret it when we look back. If they're only 1-5 against Boston, it may mean a lot. And that's what we have tonight. You'll hear the game right here on KFH. It's Reagan's on the mound. They got to win this game. They've got to stop this bleeding, get into that day off with a much better taste in their mouth, and then get that weird two-game series against the Cardinals out of their system. All right, let's set you up for a final break. We've got other stuff to tell you about today. One more time on our text contest, you can text the keyword T to win some HTO to 20357. You can text the keyword Tim to 20357. For your chance at an all-ball weekend prize package that includes a pair of tickets to the Tim Tebow event coming up at the Crown Uptown and some signed Tim Tebow merchandise. Those are your two contests out there today. I think we're all caught up on the housekeeping. Thanks again to Grady Dick for joining us. If you missed any Grady Dick, you can go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. We'll take our one final break here on Sports Daily, and we will come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today, including that Royals baseball. That's all for you here. It's all Brockton Savage at Sports Daily on a Wednesday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.